Please take your seats. It's 6:06 p.m., so I'll call this meeting of Students' Council to order. I'm missing half of my gavel, so I'm just going to speak louder and stand when I need to get your attention, so don't wait for the gavel taps. So we'll move into the land acknowledgements. Per the Aboriginal Reconciliation. Oh, I always forget the whole committee acronym. Courtney, do you know it off the top of your head? There's another R that I'm missing. The ARC committee, per recommendations they passed last year, we're supposed to have each of you read the traditional territory acknowledgement at least once per year. So for today, I've asked our lovely Council Administration Committee Chair, Adrian, to read it out. So Adrian, please take it away.
So the University of Alberta and the University of Alberta Students Union occupy Indigenous land in Miskwetchiwaskaigan Beaver Hills House on Treaty 6 territory. From time immemorial, the banks along the river valley have been known as the Pinoan, a meeting place for the Nahiawak, the Mississippi, Métis, Denisilin, Ojibwe, Saudo, Anishinaabe, Haudenosaunee, and others. The university, the students' union, and much of the city are located on the unlawfully stolen land of the forcibly removed Papashoak Cree. We acknowledge that sharing this land gives each of us the responsibility to research the historic context of Treaty 6, to reflect on our personal relationships to the land, the nations we've named, and to our roles in upholding justice on this territory. Since they began, the Students' Union and the university have benefited from historic and ongoing dispossession of land and resources from Indigenous peoples. As a result, it is our responsibility to seek the restitution of this land and its resources. Finally, we seek to do better by working to make our learning, research, and governance align with the histories, languages, teachings, and cultures of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit peoples in the land presently occupied by the Canadian state. We encourage critical reflection by asking the following question. In relation to the territory on which you are situated, what role do you play in strengthening the resistance and resurgence of Indigenous students within your communities?
Thank you, Adrian. We'll start with attendance. Just give Courtney a moment. Christian Fotang, Pedro Almeida, Chris Beasley. We'll count him as present because I see his jacket. Levi Flannan, Michael Griffiths, Stephen Rates,
present.
Adrian Lamb,
present.
Mason, is it Pitch? I just wanted to confirm.
It's Peach, but I don't really care.
Okay,
Mason, you can say whatever. Present.
Thank you. Nathan Teason,
present.
Muniba Kadir,
present.
Ayman Saif,
present.
Damon Atwood,
hello.
Elm Alahi,
present.
Precious Majeko Dumni, Jillian Eisenstadt,
present.
Noor Abdelwahab,
present.
Laurel Ford,
present.
Megan Garbutt,
present.
And I am present. Is the CRO with us? Okay, and I don't believe Mark is here. Okay, so that brings us to the end of attendance. We did get you, Chris.
Nice.
I didn't prepare a specific oath reminder for today, but again, we just did our oath last meeting. Just a reminder to be aware of it as we conduct our business at council and on its committees, and to uphold it in our actions. So on to speaker's business. I do have a few housekeeping items for today. As you've seen, I've solicited feedback from you all. I'll continue to do that throughout the semester. Some of this relates to that. Some of this relates to some procedural stuff. First off, I really loved the energy at our last council meeting, and I really hope we can continue that throughout the year. But I just wanted to ask that people be aware of how loud they're banging the tables, because it can get quite noisy. And we also just want to respect the space that we're in. So keep the energy. You can bang the tables. Just don't send the person next to you running away. Next is the council office. We'll be scanning your one cards during the recess today. If we forget, please remind us. We do have the scanner right there. Just a note on the council office, it is a privilege and not a right. Please make sure to take good care of the space. We've had garbage left in it in previous years, and it gets kind of gross. There are garbage bins in the office, so just two garbage bins in the office. So just put your garbage in there. Lighting level, I don't think we've done it, but I think we can set it to general presentation lighting. So yeah, I had some feedback last time that the lighting was really harsh. So we're going to try this out today. If you have issues with the lighting or being able to see, please just raise a point of personal privilege and we can sort it out. But just to get the read of the room, is this better generally than the super bright lights? Okay. So we'll go with that for now. I had a question about food and drinks. Food is served at CAC. Technically it's snacks, but so far it's been like pretty substantial food. Today we had samosas and like vegetable and chicken skewers, so feel free to come to CAC for that. There is a sink and cupboards with some cups if you need water during the council meeting. I encourage you to bring a reusable bottle just because the supply is limited. But just so you know, there is water there. If you have any general questions about food, you can bring it to Council Administration Committee and a discussion can happen there, or contact me or Courtney. I also just wanted to give a congratulations. We've had two committee chairs elected so far. The first has been Adrian Lam at the Council Administration Committee. Congrats. And the second was Precious Majekodumni at Policy Committee. And unfortunately, I don't think she's here, but let's give her a round. And as always, I'll be providing some summaries of how different parts of the agenda work today. We'll have our first presentation today. So I'll give some information on kind of the process for those. Always feel free to kind of raise your hand and ask a question if you have one. So without further ado, we did not have our Board of Governors representative, Stephen Raitz, with us last meeting. So I've invited him to give his inaugural address today. Stephen, please take it away.
Hi, folks. So this is not a hyper formal, does not reflect maybe the term inaugural address, but I just wanted to share with you all some words of excitement about how I'm looking forward to working with you all over the coming year. I'll also share, you'll see my pants are dirty because I fell off my bike. It's not because I'm unprepared. It's because I just fell off my bike. And so don't judge me for that. I'm really looking forward to diving into the BOG work this year, and I've started to do so by reviewing my platform and tying that to some actionable outcomes that I hope to achieve or a kind of pinpoint over the course of the board's years. We have not formally met as the Board of Governors yet. That hasn't occurred, but that'll be peppered throughout the summer. And so I look forward to, as I begin to attend those meetings, a really key component of my platform was doing engagement with a variety of stakeholders, council being one of those stakeholders listed, and to further kind of reach some of the goals I had set out. I'm beginning to meet with the Board of Governors members themselves to establish some of those relationships to get work done, and then also will begin to reach out to faculty associations to pinpoint some of the work that is highlighted within the platform. I'm looking forward to collaborating with you all, like I already said. And I also, I'm just going to cut it here because I don't have much more to say, but I look forward to really timely and efficient meetings. All of our time is really valuable. And so I'm just going to say those words and nothing more, and let's have efficient meetings. Goodbye.
Thank you, Stephen. So we'll move to our next section of business, which is the consent agenda. Again, this is kind of a grouping of non-controversial items that council approves as a whole without a formal debate or vote. The only item on the consent agenda for today is the council votes and proceedings. Any member can also pull an item off of the consent agenda just by request. So as the consent agenda currently stands, is there any opposition or concerns? Seeing none, the consent agenda is approved as presented. And we'll move into our next section of business, which is presentations. Since this is our first time doing presentations, again, I just wanted to give a bit of context, because I've also noticed this is the section of business where things tend to get a little confusing. So in summary, presentations are just an opportunity for someone, usually outside of council or the students' union, to present on an issue relevant to students' council. Technically, they require a vote of approval, but generally they're just accepted unless someone says, I oppose this presentation, in which case we'd go into a vote. They're limited to 20 minutes at first, including any Q&A that would happen, but that may be extended by a two-thirds vote of council. And there's a limit of four per meeting. And the reason I'm saying this, you don't have to memorize it specifically, but if you bring someone to present at council, it's really important that you check with us and communicate these guidelines, these rules to your presenter, because in the case we've had people unaware and come with a 45-minute presentation, and then there's just kind of confusion that occurs. And the 20-minute limit is to, like Stephen kind of alluded to, is to protect our time, and then council can choose to extend further if needed. In terms of submitting presentations, they're due with any other motion at the order paper at 8 a.m., usually on the Friday before council. And specifically, if your presenter is going to be using slides, they need to submit the slides at that deadline, usually the Friday at 8 a.m. before council. And again, our order papers can be really long. I've seen them into the hundreds of pages, and it just gives you time to review them and make sure that you can properly prepare yourselves for council before we get to the actual meeting. So we do have one presentation today, and that's to allow Sarah Wolgamuth, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, to present on the Student Experience Action Plan. Is there any opposition to that presentation? Okay, seeing none, that will proceed. And this is actually an instance of confusion. There's some confusion around submission deadlines. So basically the slides weren't submitted by the deadline. This isn't to penalize everyone. Again, this is to protect the use of your time. Our meetings can also be quite busy. So basically whenever a violation has occurred, it can only proceed with the group's consent. And again, that's just to protect your time. So I would look for unanimous consent or the group's consent to just allow the presenter to use their slides despite not submitting them at the proper time. Is there any opposition to this? Okay, seeing none, that will be allowed. And again, it's just to protect your time during our meetings. So without further ado, I see Pedro is the mover. Pedro, would you like to introduce the presentation before it proceeds?
Pedro's not the mover. I think it's Foteng.
Sorry, I was confusing it with the committee motion. Christian Foteng, would you like to introduce the presentation?
All good. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, and I'm also the perpetrator in question here with the presentation slide, so I appreciate your due diligence, Mr. Speaker. I thank you, Council, for being flexible. There's actually a bit more change up to the motion. I know it says that Sarah was supposed to present on the strategic plan, but at the time when we were just presenting it, there was just some more information that needed to be brought before we could fully present it to Council. But we have Logan here, equally amazing, equally great, and talking about the university strategic plan, which does tie into the student experience action plan, which Sarah was supposed to talk about. So there's a lot of links. So our goal here is just to encourage and update Council on what the university has been working on in regards to the university strategic plan. As you know, strategic plans are big documents that provide vision and direction for organizations, whether it's us or the university or companies. And so it's important that Council is aware of like what work has been done coming out of last year and into this year. So I encourage you all to ask Logan as many questions about, you know, what, where you'd like to see kind of the university go. And I'm sure there's also some prompting questions that Logan has there, which are in the slides, just talking about, you know, what next and feedback for how we can shape the final version of the strategic plan. But without further ado, I'll pass over to Logan.
Hey, thank you so much, Christian. Really appreciate it. And again, really grateful to Council for allowing us to be here today. So I'm just going to share my screen here and just move through a brief slide presentation. I don't want to take up too much of the time talking at you, but just to do a little bit of level setting. And so again, as Christian mentioned, you know, this work is really intimately linked to the Student Experience Action Plan. We've been really closely working with Sarah and her team all the way through, and really just to help situate this work for you. So the university strategic plan really is, this really is our umbrella for the next decade. This is about setting out our goals and vision at the very highest level. And then the more detailed action plans, like the Student Experience Action Plan, really are the heart of how we deliver on that vision. So these two documents really should work well together. This is the very highest level aspirations. And then I think Sarah's intention is to come back at the next meeting with a draft of the Student Experience Action Plan that you'll see it gives life to that vision and speaks a little bit more practically and directly to how we'll reflect that in the student experience. And so again, you know, primarily here to hear from you and have discussion with the group. So I'll try to be pretty concise, but I'll just take a few minutes to provide an overview of the draft strategic plan that was circulated and that was released to our community back in April. And before I do that, I do always like to start by acknowledging the very hard work of our steering committee. I won't go through all these names, but we are really grateful for their hard work and thoughtful guidance of these folks. This is a diverse group of students, scholars, staff, faculty, and leaders from across the university, and very much not a seat warming committee. We put these folks to work, leading consultations and developing and reviewing documents. And so just at the outset to say we're very grateful for their work and leadership. So the draft plan that we are presenting today does build on a quite extensive consultation process, which we launched last fall. We have presented on the consultation process before, and so I won't repeat that here, but I just want to note on our strategic plan website, you can read our What We Heard report, which I'd encourage you to read if you haven't. That report contains a lot of really rich insights from communities both inside and outside the university, really about what they want from our institution over the next decade. And it's so a very interesting read as part of the context for this work and the Student Experience Action Plan, if you have a chance to take a look at that. But again, I won't take up our time on that today. So moving on then to the overview of the draft strategic plan, and I do want to reiterate, the strategic plan is intended to sit at a very high level. So this is about our overall aspirations for the university over the next decade. And our focus really, once the strategic plan is approved, is to work on our more detailed implementation plans in the next academic year. So into the summer and then the fall, we'll really turn our focus to the detailed implementation plans and you know, sort of put the meat on the bones. But first, it is really important to get our endorsement from the community as a whole about, you know, where do we want to go as a university at the highest level. So moving on to the draft plan itself, and really the North Star for this document is impact. So this plan really is about delivering greater impact to and for our communities across all three areas of our mandate. So education, research, and community engagement. And you'll see that the plan does identify our people really as the foundation of everything that we do. And when we engaged our community in the fall and into the winter, I think one of the major points of feedback that we heard over and over again was the importance of putting our people right at the forefront of our plan. So we know that our faculty, our staff, our students are essential to our success. They are our success, and we can only succeed in turn by fostering a culture and an experience that is engaged, that's inclusive, that creates conditions for everyone to thrive. So our emphasis on our people really is grounded in a set of key commitments or key value statements that underpin the whole rest of our strategic plan. So those are indigenization and decolonization. And here, you know, the language and the commitments really draw on our Indigenous strategic plan, Braiding Past, Present, Future, that was adopted last year. Our commitments around equity, diversity, and inclusion, sustainability, creativity, and finally, collaboration. And again, the intent really is that those commitments are embedded throughout the plan. So they reflect how we work and how we accomplish our goals. And so now to give you a brief overview of the draft USP pillars or the thematic areas. So the first pillar is called Education with Purpose. And again, building on what we heard in our consultations, this theme really highlights our key focus areas in evolving our programs and teaching to respond to future opportunities. So this is about how do we see our teaching and learning activities evolving over the next decade. And it addresses areas like developing innovative and multidisciplinary programs, development of a portfolio of online programs and courses in areas of real distinct strength for the U of A, experiential and work integrated learning, expanding pathways into the university through new credential types, and last but certainly not least, the central importance of our student experience. And so that again is where we, you know, sort of lead into the student experience action plan that you'll hear more about at the next meeting. And so within that context, this theme also really highlights the opportunity for enrollment growth. So we know that we face pressure to grow due to demographics within our province. And we know that growth also gives us an opportunity to extend our research and community impact and do more to serve the communities that rely on us for access. But we know that we also have to grow intentionally and sustainably. We have to be able to use growth in ways that actually create access for underserved learners, particularly for Indigenous students. And we have to also acknowledge and value international students as a part of that growth picture and international experience as part of our vision for the student experience. And as we grow, we need to not only sustain, but enhance our student experience across all domains of life at the university. And you know, again, that leads into the student experience action plan work. So the second key theme is called Research with Purpose. And so as many of you may be aware, in parallel to the university strategic plan, there is a strategic plan for research and innovation that's currently being developed with broad engagement from our research community. And that document, the SPRI, Strategic Plan for Research and Innovation, is the foundation for this research discussion in the strategic plan. And so that work really sets out the vision for how do we strengthen our research and innovation climate as a whole at the university. So including through emphasis on indigenization and EDI, through developing our next generation of scholars and research leaders. So that's about how do we support graduate students and postdoctoral fellows. And also focusing on high impact spaces and supports that help our researchers to really excel. And that work has really also identified the importance of defining our key priority areas. So where are the areas where we really want to invest to enhance capacity and collaboration. And so you'll see that the draft document identifies areas of global excellence where the U of A has really already demonstrated internationally ranked institutional strength over the past many years. And then also areas of growth where we know that we are already making major contributions and we have the potential to really reach that global significance level within the next decade. So our third pillar is called engagement with purpose, and this really addresses our community focus. And so again, building on the What We Heard document, this just really incorporates our key priorities identified by our community and external stakeholders. So those include our strong role and partnership with Indigenous communities, with Francophone communities, with rural communities across Alberta. But also one of the key things that we heard from communities outside the university is just desire for the U of A to be a more active leader and convener with communities. So instead of waiting for communities to approach us, to take a leadership role in bringing stakeholders and organizations and communities together around areas of shared concern. and playing a leadership role. And so that's articulated here. Also building stronger bridges between industry and research and making the university more accessible to potential partners. So one of the things that we've heard over and over again is that it's not as easy as it should be to work with U of A to develop new partnerships. And that's not just in terms of research, but also in terms of education. So in areas like experiential and work integrated learning. And then lastly, it is, we talk about commitments to build capacity and incentives for our faculty and staff to do more community engaged research and teaching. And as you'll hopefully see in the document, really the community engagement, it is a standalone pillar, but it's also intended to be woven throughout the education and research themes. So community really is fundamental to everything that we do at the university, and that's intended to come through. So that really, I think, gives you a feel for the sort of the substantive content goals that you see in the plan. But, you know, I do want to emphasize that, you know, for our steering committee, how we get there is as important as where we get. So, you know, we've tried to articulate throughout the plan that we will pursue all of these goals through a commitment to deep relationships, to collaboration with all the communities that we serve within and beyond the university. And that's really a core value commitment to us moving forward. So very briefly, next steps, our proposed strategic plan is going to come forward to GFC and at the end of this month and to the board in the middle of June. We really are eager for input and feedback. Feedback on the plan itself is always welcome, but in particular, as I mentioned, we'll really be moving into the more detailed action planning over the summer and the fall. And I think that's where a lot of feedback can really be impactful in helping us set those immediate priorities. Well, you know, what do you want to see and need to see out of our work going forward? And so with that, I'm going to stop sharing the screen and hopefully we can move into discussion. I do have a few discussion prompts, but before we get there, I'd really appreciate it if we could maybe just start by opening up the floor for overall reactions and kind of initial impressions or burning insights, and then after that we can move into some discussion prompts if we still have time. So I will stop speaking there, and again, really appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, thank you, Logan, for your presentation. Just heads up, we're at 9 minutes, and the presentation itself, and I think the discussion prompts that we might move to later can be found on the late editions, which Courtney sent out earlier today. So with that, is there any general comments or feedback or reactions from the floor? Chris?
Hello, Logan. My apologies. This is less for you and more for council. I just wanted to thank you, Logan, for coming here and for taking this time. And I hope that we're able to give you good feedback to carry forward, but also for council. If you guys have other thoughts that like you think about, like I always have moments like 2 days later where I'm like, oh, shoot, I should have asked this question or I should have brought this up. You can always forward them through the exec as well. The UASU exec, I know Fotang was on the steering committee. I'm not sure whether he still is or whether that's ex officio, but like we'll be in conversation with folks as well. And so we can always forward through ideas and notes as well. Yeah.
Any general feedback, responses? We can also move into some of the specific discussion questions. Okay, I'm not seeing any general feedback. So Logan, maybe... I think someone had just joined the Zoom call and it was an accidental.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, maybe if you'd like to go, oh, sorry, Mason, please go ahead.
I first want to thank you for your presentation, but I'm just wondering, is this something that would address like affordability for students or anything like that? Or like, because at least in this document, I feel like there should definitely be a bigger section about that, if that's something that this would cover.
Yeah, thanks very much for the comment. I think that's it's a great comment. I would say that the purpose of this document probably is a little bit a little bit higher level in terms of speaking to what are the principles that we want to our student experience to reflect. And, you know, so we talk about having a student experience where we are supportive of well-being and flourishing of students, where we create opportunities for folks from all different backgrounds to succeed and thrive here. And so, although, you know, we don't speak about affordability specifically, clearly affordability is one of the key components, one of the key elements of creating that kind of environment, that kind of culture. And so the student experience action plan is where that that can be taken up a little bit more specifically. So that this document is again a little bit high level for that. But we aren't attempting to sort of articulate the principles, the values, the high level commitments to our community, to our students that that support that more specific conversation in the student experience action plan. So hopefully that's helpful.
Nathan, please go ahead.
Again, thank you for your time and the presentation to council here. And we do really appreciate the time you've given to us and letting us know what's going on. My question I have is, will this plan involve certain strategies with the development or the buildings on campus and space for students as we see increased enrollment go throughout this decade? And would such plans include the demolition of some buildings or the rebuilding of some buildings or anything along the lines of physical land development on campus for students?
Yeah, it's a great comment. So short answer is yes. Space is definitely a critical component of how we move forward here. So the university does have an asset management strategy, which was developed over the last several years. And that really sets out essentially how we're intending as an institution to navigate the issues that you've described. So both creating more fit for purpose spaces that meet the needs of current students, faculty, staff, and also how do we, you know, disinvest or decant from spaces that no longer meet the needs and convert those to more suitable space. So short answer is yes. That is a strategy which already exists and that has to iterate and continue to develop and evolve as we move through passing the strategic plan and figuring out what our educational landscape looks like going forward, determining what our enrollment growth picture looks like going forward. And so that's an ongoing, I would say, kind of living conversation, living document. But short answer is yes, that's going to be a critical component of all these conversations going forward. So that's something that will certainly be coming back through General Faculty's Council and the board. So the student representatives and those bodies will certainly be part of those conversations going forward, I would say, regularly over the next several years.
Thank you. Any other general feedback? Okay, we're at 3.5 minutes, but Logan, Michael, go ahead.
Sorry, can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Okay, sorry, we're just figuring out audio on our end. So thank you for the presentation. I just had a question about sort of the sustainability dimension. It's touched on in the presentation as an embedded commitment, and it comes up a few times. I was just wondering maybe if you could speak to kind of how you folks came to define the concept and how it's conceptualized in this plan. In many of the cases that it's mentioned, it is around sustainability on our campus related to like enrollment growth and sort of how that will look. But I'm wondering what other elements this captures related to like say climate and spaces on campus.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's and I would say this was a really live conversation in the steering committee to as we kind of develop this. So you've hit on it is a complex concept and it's one that lives in a lot of different ways at the university. And I think, you know, we're trying to be as capacious as we can be. So there is an element, as you've talked about, that is to some extent, you know, the sustainability of our organization. And that touches on things like the space and buildings conversation we just had. But sustainability in the sense of environment, of energy transition, of climate change, also that's a huge critical focus for our research enterprise. It's a critical focus for our educational enterprise. So we have substantial and really distinctive programming and teaching strengths in those areas that are really embedded also in the way that we do experiential and work integrated learning. And so, you know, we're in part trying to also elevate that work to the level of institutional commitment as well, and to indicate, you know, that we are taking trying to take that ethos into the way that we move forward through all areas of our plan as well. So we are trying to be as I would say capacious as possible in the way that we're talking about sustainability.
Hey, we are at a minute and a half, so I don't know if we'll have time without extension for the specific prompts, but is there any other general feedback or questions for Logan? Is there any desire to extend so we can get into the prompts? Okay. Oh, Christian, please go ahead.
Not a question or a desire to extend, Mr. Speaker. I was going to give a closing, like, thank you to Logan, if time permitting. And then just a final message to council.
Yeah, you've got 50 seconds. Please go
Perfect.
Ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to say thank you again, Logan, for coming forward and providing us this context. Like Logan said, this is not the final product or structure or version. And like this ties into the Student Experience Action Plan, which hopefully will be coming soon to council. So there will also be more context and things that you can all provide as, you know, shaping the university that we want for the future. So thank you again, Logan.
Thank you so much. And again, I just pass on my thanks to the council as well for having us here this evening. We really appreciate the opportunity.
I see Muniba. Please go ahead.
So I'm sorry for being late. Thank you for the presentation and giving us the opportunity to give feedback on this. I had a question about the education with purpose slide. So embracing the importance of international students and fostering opportunities for international experiences, were there any international student associations or bodies considered in making this decision, or like what is the strategic plan on that? And about the educational structure, like courses being included about the slide before that. So were the all the faculties considered in making this decision, and what is the strategic plan on that? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Do you mind, could I ask if you could repeat the second part of the question? Just to make sure I've understood correctly.
Yeah, so the seventh slide, the first point is leveraging our new structure as we develop innovative programs. So were all the faculties discussed in making this strategic plan, and what are the action steps that you're going to be taking in making this innovative new structure? Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. So what that section is referencing is that, you know, we know we've moved to we've established colleges over the last several years, and our faculties remain the vital academic units and the home of our academic programs. But having the colleges as a structure to bring the faculties together to collaborate, you know, across disciplines, it does give us an opportunity to work more closely together. And so as the faculties are collectively considering development of new programs to respond to emerging opportunities or emerging needs, whether of our students or more broadly societally, we now have a structure that actually is conducive to collaborating across disciplines, and that might give us some opportunities to develop programming that doesn't live solely in a single faculty, but that crosses disciplinary boundaries and so lets our students move a little bit more fluidly across some of those traditional boundaries. So that's really the vision that's describing there. What that looks like going forward, so how do we actually realize that vision? I would say that's part of the work to come. That's part of the focus for the implementation planning, but we are actively engaging with all of the faculties and colleges on those topics on a regular basis. I would say the same kind of answer for your question around international. So we do have University of Alberta International has been engaging over the last year and a half and to update our international strategy. And so, you know, again, partly what we're trying to do in the university strategic plan is identify, you know, very high level, we have an aspiration for our students to have an international experience as part of their studies. And this is where it sits within our broader vision for education. And then again, over the next year, we'll work with UAI and faculties to develop implementation plans that help us to give shape to that. How will we realize that going forward?
Okay, unless there's a motion to extend, we'll close the presentation. Seeing none, the presentation is closed. Thank you so much, Logan, for coming in. And yeah, direct any further feedback to the executives, I think. Can I just get a nod to make sure that I'm right on that? Okay, cool. Thanks, Logan. Okay, so with that, we are finished presentations and we'll move to our next section of business, which is reports. Just a reminder that oral reports are now voluntary, and they can be given by essentially any member of council, either in relation to their role or council's business as a whole. It's not something I want to police too heavily, but please just be considerate of the length of the agenda. If the agenda is really long, perhaps consider alternative methods of communication, because reports do tend to add up. With that being said, are there any oral reports for today's meeting? Okay, seeing none. Oh, sorry, Christian, please go ahead.
Yeah, perfect. I'm also trying to get used to this, Mr. Speaker. So I assume this is where also executive committee reports usually fall under. But I wanted to take this time for council, in case you didn't already see it in our written reports, just to give a huge shout out and congratulations to your VP External, Chris Beasley, on being recently elected as chair for the Council of Alberta University Students. If I was there, I'd be, you know, clapping or graciously banging the table, but this is a huge deal as Chris now becomes a spokesperson for over 100,000 of students in our public universities here in Alberta. It is not a responsibility or a role I'm sure Chris takes lightly. It comes with a lot of duty, but with that duty comes a lot of privilege and access, which he can better advocate for us at our campus, but also for students across all of our campuses. And given that this is an election year, this is going to be huge. And I look forward to seeing the amazing things that Chris is going to do in this role. And I know the executive team has full confidence in him and is backing him up. And I know the council will be there cheering him on as well. So I wanted to give a huge congratulations and shout out to Chris.
Sorry, I do just want to clarify quickly. Yeah, I'm not going to set like a specific order to oral reports. If you have one that you'd like to give, regardless of whether you're executive or a committee chair or just a counselor, please just raise your placard and you'll be recognized. So Chris, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, President Fotang. That was him doing the job of a president, which is to hype up his VPs. But that's what I'm going to be up to for the next year. I realized in my written report, I promised that I would update you guys. I said in my written report that I was applying to sit on two committees of CASA, but that I didn't update anybody. So just to, like, for the record, got on the advocacy committee and then election 45 planning committee for the 45th federal election committee. So I'll be involved with our federal body for there. Christian also had a big week. Christian is finally no longer the chair of the Canadian Alliance of Students Associations. And so for a very brief week, we were infinite in that the UASU was both chair of the Canadian Alliance of Students Associations and the Council of Alberta University Students. But now we're down to a healthy normal of only one at a time. But yeah, the other thing that I have for my oral report is for Get Out the Vote activities. We're going to be doing a lot of Get Out the Vote activities Thursday, Friday, and Monday. I am hungry for people. If you guys want to come out at any point or have any free time on Thursday, Friday, or Monday to just essentially do streeters, where you get a Get Out the Vote shirt and you run around with me and you essentially just drag people to the on-campus polling locations. So if anybody at all is interested in doing that with me and with other friends, let me know. I may also be pulling some of you aside and putting more direct pressure on you as time goes on. But yeah, thank you all.
Thank you. Sorry, I've just had an ask. Is it possible to turn the Zoom down just a little bit? It's loud today. I think if we turn the computer volume down, it should do also this. Yeah. Maybe let's try 75 and we can try that. Okay. Are there any further oral reports before we move to the next section of business? Okay, seeing none, we'll move into open forum. Again, this is just an opportunity for guests to ask members of council questions. Are there any guests today that would like to ask questions or also make statements. I do not see any, so unless there's any last minute ones. Okay, we'll move out of open forum and into question period. Very similar format, but this is just an opportunity for you all to ask questions to each other. Are there any questions to members of council from members of council or statements? Elm, please go ahead.
Just a question for Chris. Where can we learn more about Get Out the Vote in terms of, because I don't even know that, I don't even know what to tell my friends when they do want to vote on campus. So when, where can we learn about it?
Thank you so much for the question. So I filmed a bunch of TikToks today that are going to be going live over the course of the next couple of days. So good luck, everybody, getting subjected to that. All of the information will be all up on our Instagram probably by the end of tomorrow. For council's context as well, and I can send this to you in a message if you're talking to your friends, we will have on-campus voting from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday and Friday. That's incredibly important, especially for students that live in Edmonton now for school, but their ordinary residence is not in Edmonton. So cough, cough, if you're from Calgary or wherever else, and you want to vote in your home riding or what you self-define as your ordinary riding, then you can come in on Thursday or Friday and cast a vote from here to go back there. We will also have a polling station on campus on the 29th, election day, but it will be only for residents of Edmonton Riverview, which is the riding that kind of surrounds the university. So Google your own riding and figure out where your riding is. A big part of the VPX role is that I will just text you back any information or any questions you have or any barriers that you have to voting. Just shoot me a message. For the last 8 months, I've been prepping for this. And so I will be able to help you in any of that. Was that at all helpful, Elm? Wonderful. Oh, and for council's context as well, you can check a lot of these resources will also be on the Council of Alberta University Students Instagram, including a nonpartisan platform guide that was done up by them in partnership with Apathy is Boring. And so if you need to, from a nonpartisan perspective as the Students Union, encourage students to look into platforms or encourage them to take a look at just like what all the parties are standing for on some of the key identified issues of like healthcare, affordability, et cetera, you can direct them to that resource, which we got specially made so that it wasn't just the Chris Beasley takes on what the parties are standing for. It was actually Apathy is Boring's takes. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Any other questions or statements from members? Anyone else? Going once, going twice? Okay. We'll move out of question period then and into our next item of business, which is unfinished business. Carrying over from our last meeting is the nomination of two counselors to the Physical Activity and Wellness Center Strategic Operating Committee, or PAWSOC, since that's a mouthful. We were unable to find nominees for this committee. Is one of the executive able to give a brief reminder on what this committee does?
Oh, Michael.
Hey, I guess not. So from memory, I believe this committee relates to the fee collected by the university to run the Physical Activity and Wellness Center and relates to their strategic operations. I'm not sure if information was provided on a meeting schedule. So yeah, there are two seats and essentially like I know there's a bit of a lack of information, but if it, okay, it is monthly. If you get appointed to the committee and you end up realizing that it conflicts with your schedule, it's not a huge deal. You can resign and it can come back. But there are two seats. So are there any nominations from the floor for this committee? Nathan.
I'd like to nominate the Honorable Science Counselor, Laurel Ford, for this position.
Laurel?
Yeah, I'd be happy to accept.
Okay, Laurel accepts. Thank you. Any further nominations from the floor? There are two seats open for this committee. If you want to be nominated, I suggest messaging an executive, and they can probably make that happen for you. I see Chris is waving. Any further nominations from the floor? Mason.
I'm just curious if we're able to nominate executives for this position.
So DFUs are governed by their referendum question, and without knowing the question, I can't say for certain.
So I know like board placements. I do believe like there are like, depending on the board, they're separate. Like I see Christian wants to jump in.
Yeah, Christian, go ahead if you can answer that.
Yeah, sorry, just on that, just like I think Courtney was about to say, we executives do have dedicated spots. So we handle like internal nominations within the executive committee to put executives there. So most of the boards will have executives sitting alongside you folks as counselors. And I believe PASOC is one of those.
That is exactly what I was going to get at. Thank you so much, Michael.
Okay, if there aren't any further nominations, we can also bring this back another time and try to get more information for then. But Chris, did you have something? Okay. I'm not seeing a desire to nominate more people. So is there any opposition into us closing nominations and automatically appointing Laurel to the committee? Any opposition to that? Okay, seeing none, Laurel is declared automatically appointed to the PASOC committee. Congratulations. And governance will follow up and we can have a motion come back when more information is available. So with that, we'll move into our next section of business, which is board and committee business. There is one item, which is to nominate two members of council to the Green and Gold Grant Adjudicator Committee. I see for this one, Pedro is the mover. Would you like to introduce the motion, Pedro?
Yes, I would love to. For the Green and Gold Student Leadership and Professional Development Grant, there is an education committee that essentially scores the different applications and then decides who the funding goes to. So there are two spots open for the Students' Union to appoint undergraduate adjudicators. There's also two spots open that are appointed by the Dean of Students. They reached out to me because they wanted two members on the adjudication committee by early June, if possible. So I, as has previously been done in the last couple of years, we decided to bring it to council and have two counselors join in if there are any nominations here. If there's any questions, you can direct them to me as well. But the description of the body and information that's provided below under my submission kind of covers it pretty in depth. Thank you.
Thanks for the introduction. And just to clarify that kind of introduction to the committee that was referenced is just in the order papers on page 5 and 6 of the entire document. So with that, are there any questions regarding the committee or nominations from the floor? Nathan?
Would it be in order to give out a nomination?
Yes, it definitely would be.
I'd like to nominate the Honorable Science Counsel Laurel Ford for the position.
Laurel?
I'm sorry, I'm going to be really busy that month. I'm going to have to decline.
Okay, thank you. Any further nominations from the floor or questions regarding the committee? Nathan.
I'd like to nominate the Honorable Campus Saint Jean representative, Julian Assenstadt.
Jill?
I very much so appreciate the nomination, humble counselor Nathan Thiessen, but I'm going to have to respectfully decline.
Thank you. Pedro, please go ahead.
I would like to nominate the honorable arts counselor Nathan Thiessen.
Nathan?
In effort to represent students to the best of my ability, I cannot take it on another role at this time. Thank you, though, for the nomination.
Thank you. Any further nominations from the floor? Chris?
Let's run down the list. Councillor Kadir, I'm going to nominate you for this committee.
I'm going to have to respectfully decline.
Okay, thank you. Mason?
I would like to nominate my honorable associate over here, Adrian.
Adrian?
I'm going to have to humbly decline at this time.
Okay, thank you. Pedro?
Seeing as though there does not seem to be successful nomination so far, I would be okay if we move this to the nomination subcommittee of the of CAC, if that is okay.
Yeah, so I was just going to bring this up. There's a few procedural options that we have. This can be referred to the council administration committee with instructions to seek out applicants and suggest nominations to council. It could be referred to the executive committee, but I'm hearing that I think the executive would prefer it to go to CAC. This could also be tabled into our next meeting to see if other councillors would like to put their name forward next time. Any of those would be options. And if you have questions about those, just let me know. Adrian, was that a hand? Okay. I'm not seeing any further nominations. So Pedro, since you're the mover, I might just ask, out of those options, what would you prefer?
I would prefer if we move this to CAC. It's not an open for a student at large position. It doesn't need to be a counselor position. We just, as has been done in the past, we brought it to council first, but we can very well make it search for student at large. Thank you.
Sure. So yes, the motion would be to refer this nomination to CAC to fill the seats with students at large. Is there a second for this motion? I see Mason. Pedro, would you like to speak first to the motion?
For the position?
Just to refer it to CAC.
Oh yeah. It's just to for the for CAC to identify two student at larges that can best serve students' interests through the SU on the adjudication committee of the Green and Gold fund. Does that make sense? Is that kind of what you're asking for, Christian?
Yeah. Is everyone aware of what we're doing now? I just want to check in. Okay. I think this is fairly uncontentious, but is there any debate regarding the motion to refer to CAC? Any debate? Okay, seeing none, we will move into a vote on the motion to refer this nomination to the Council Administration Committee to fill the seats with students at large. If you are in favor of this motion, please make it known with a show of hands. Those in favor? Okay, please lower your hands. Those opposed? Okay, seeing none opposed, the motion passes with 16 in favor and the nomination process is referred to CAC to fill students at large. And that will appear at the next CAC agenda. That brings us to the end of our business for today. I just kind of want to give a brief explanation of closed sessions, which we haven't had the chance to get to yet. Basically, closed session are items that are purely discussion. We can't send items for approval to closed session. And it's basically just a space for council to have a discussion in private if the matter is sensitive or relates to kind of proprietary or trade information of the students' union's businesses, or sometimes to personnel issues. Yeah, it's not used very often, but it is used on occasion. Are there any further items from the floor, or can we adjourn for this meeting? I'm seeing some confusion. Okay, so we've run out of items for today, just to be clear. Okay, so I don't see any further items from the floor, so we'll take attendance one final time, and then we will adjourn for the day. Christian Fotang.
Oh, present.
Pedro Almeida.
Present.
Chris Beasley. Levi Flamin. Michael Griffiths.
Okay. Present.
Stephen Reitz.
Present.
Adrian Lamb.
Present.
Mason Pish.
Present.
Nathan Teason.
Present.
Muniba Kadir.
Present.
Ayman Saif.
Present.
Damon Atwood.
Present.
Elma Alahi.
Present.
Precious Majeko Dumni. Jillian Eisenstadt.
Present.
Noor Abdelwahab.
Present.
Laurel Ford.
Here.
Megan Garbutt.
Present.
I am present. I see the CRO is present, and I believe that Mark is not present. Okay, so with that, we will adjourn at 7:08 p.m. Have a good night, everyone. Hey, everyone, just one more thing. If you would like access to the council office on the sixth floor of Sub, please come scan your one card.